Well, hello, this is Ted Johnson with the Fish on Ted podcast. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. You know, today is the day before Turkey Day in 2023. So we are on the Wednesday before the Thursday of Thanksgiving of this kind of crazy year. Today we have a return guest, and he's become pretty much regular on the show. We always have fun talking to Captain Chris out of Seattle and talking about his adventures and ventures that he is involved with. And without further ado, Chris, are you there?
I am here, Ted. Good morning to you. And happy start off to the holiday season.
Absolutely. Here is to the holiday joy that comes up over the next 6 weeks. So this should be fun. Starting off tomorrow with probably a whole lot more food than I want to eat. But
I hope you have your turkey thawing because, it's going to take at least 24 hours to thaw those guys.
Yeah, so true. So true. Well, hey, how did 2023 end up for you?
Oh, it was just fantastic. It was one of the best seasons we ever had.
Really? Wow.
Just everything came together. The fish were in big numbers. We had great ocean conditions and great conditions in Puget Sound.
Uh-huh.
Just a lot of fantastic memories made. A lot of folks from out of town, a lot of repeat guests that we've had over the years. Just a lot of memories made with, brothers and dads and sisters and families. It was just fantastic. And this year was great too. A lot of veterans, a lot of repeat veterans
that
came back to fish with us.
That's cool. Now, sort of to get people acclimated to where you're at, you're in the Seattle area, and that's where you run your charter, but you don't necessarily go offshore. You're fishing Puget Sound, is that right?
Yeah, we're in Edmonds, although we do pick up some folks in Seattle, but we're about driving time about 15 minutes north of Seattle in the Port of Edmonds, and we're in Puget Sound, so we're in protected waters. It's salt water. It is a sound. We're not in the ocean. And we're about around the corner there, probably 30 minutes out to the Straits of Juan de Fuca. If you take that out, then you're going to hit the Pacific Ocean. So we're in the sound. It's very calm waters and protected.
Yeah, that's, when people think about charters on the West Coast, a lot of people think about, going over the bar and going out into the big Pacific and the rollers out there. And that's just not the type of fishing you do. You're in very protected waters, much like a great big bay. Let's face it, that's what Puget Sound is. And it's more like fishing a lake most of the time, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's not quite like a lake. I mean, you're going to get some wind, and it is salt water. So we might get a little bit of up and down, but it's nothing like the ocean. No, I've spent tons of time out on the ocean in a younger life. That's fun. That's kind of a younger man's game. Uh-huh. In Puget Sound, generally, it's nice almost all the time. So it's great for families. People, they don't want to have to drive, 2 hours out to the ocean, get on one of the party boats and go out there and get beat up to catch their fish. Yeah, we're, 15 minutes from Seattle, right down in Edmonds, and we're right in secluded areas. It's fishable all the time.
Sounds like an enjoyable time. Now, a lot of people don't understand that you don't catch all the different types of species of salmon each and every year. There are some fish like the pinks that only come back every couple of years. And you fish for them. What type of species of fish were you catching in 2023?
We were catching all our available species this year. On the odd number of years, every other year, we have an additional species that comes in, which is the pink salmon. And the nickname for them is humpies.
Uh-huh.
And when they get late in the season, the mature fish will have a slight hump on them. Ergo, we call them the humpies. But they come in every other year. And every year we have consistently in the 1st of June, we'll have what we call our resident coho. They're the resident silvers.
Uh-huh.
And they are hatched here. and they're in a real fast growth space, space in June and into the 1st of July. And we've got those guys at the beginning of the season. Then we've got Chinooks, our king salmon, which are around in June, but you can't harvest them yet. We generally fish for those at the start of the season around July the 16th.
Oh, okay.
And we'll fish for those guys generally through August, right out here in Area 10 in front of Edmonds.
Uh-huh.
And then our ocean run coho, these are the big returning fish that started out, a lot of them, as the residents in June. They come back in September, and we fish for those guys. They're what we call the ocean run. They're the really big, big coho, the big hook nose. And then this year, being the odd number year, we had an additional species, which was the pinks.
Okay.
And they come in right around August, August 10th, and they're generally available all the way through sometimes the end of September. They were in a little earlier this year. They were in about 2 weeks earlier, which was a bonus. So we had a little bit longer season on them. And that was, that was some red hot fishing. Oh my God.
Right.
There was doubles, triples. We could hardly get some rods down on those guys. There was a couple of trips. One in particular comes to mind. I had a family on board, and, we didn't get more than one rod down for almost a half an hour, 40 minutes.
Really?
It was crazy. Yeah, they were swarming all over the place.
Wow.
That was a fun one if you're a customer. Not so fun if you're the captain.
Yeah, yes, yeah. You got a lot of work to do. Yeah. Right.
Can't get a break.
Right. Wow. No kidding. Now I understood just talking to people that we had kind of a bigger run of or bigger fish in the Chinook / King runs this year. Is that right? Did you experience that out there?
I would say from my experience, the Chinook were bigger this year. The ones that we caught were bigger. And we attribute that to significantly better ocean conditions and better Puget Sound conditions. You know, the size of these guys and the quality is going to be derived from what they're eating and how much they're eating, how good the grocery store is, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And the ocean conditions were great, and the Puget Sound conditions were significantly better this year. The conditions this year were taking me back to when I was a young guy. We saw schools of herring that were miles long.
No,
we were out there fishing in certain areas. And this is in the morning, beautiful, beautiful morning, sun up, no clouds, and the water is boiling with herring. I mean, we haven't seen conditions like that, you know, for years. The conditions of Puget Sound have always been good, but this is phenomenal. This year was something like we would see, you know, up in Alaska. Just
really
incredible biomasses of herring and needlefish and candlefish. And this is the groceries that the fish are feeding on.
Mm-hmm.
So when the conditions are good, the fishing is going to be good. The quality is going to be good.
Right.
When the conditions are phenomenal, like they were this year, just the quality and the quantity is going to be so much better. And we boated fish this year, specifically the kings, but as well as the ocean run coho as well. So we haven't seen in many, many, many years. To give you an example, there was some fish that we caught, in the ocean run coho season in September.
Mm-hmm.
And several of them, they caught these fish and they had these bulges, you know, in their stomach, you know, popping out like they swallowed a baseball. I'm thinking, what the heck? And you know, I hadn't seen that. And, you know, throw them in the box. Well, you know, that is an odd looking fish. Well, here's another one. It's an odd looking fish. And some of these fish that I would cut open when we're cleaning them out there in the bay before we get into the marina, one particular coho, she had 11 herring in her stomach. 11.
Oh.
And these were like big horse herring. I can't believe these guys, you know, went for the lures. There's no room for them. But they were just, you know, ferocious and just they wanted to get full before they go downstream or before they move on. And some of these hit almost took the rod out of the rod holder into the water. I mean, they were just takedowns like we ran into a tank. Pretty amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
But to answer your question, yeah. I mean, the quality this year, from my perspective, from what we put in the box this year, just across the board was up for us. The Chinook were definitely up. The pinks that we were getting were, I believe, above average for a pink cycle. We're getting a lot of them that had to take a double take at them. So look at that. That's the size of an ocean run cobo. Is that an early ocean run? Oh, no, it's just a big pink. And then the Chinook this year, you know, you had your average Chinook as well. A lot of them are kind of, you know, generally for the Chinooks are kind of a cookie cutter size. But this year, they're bigger quality. And I think it's the tribute to the feed in Puget Sound this year. The feed and the quality of the conditions in Puget Sound just phenomenal. And they seem to be getting better every year.
Right. Now, do the fish also eat krill and shrimp and that sort of thing in Puget Sound?
Yeah. So in the beginning of the season in June, and in June we'd be talking about the resident cohorts, they start off eating shrimp and krill. And shrimp and krill, of course, are smaller, and we all know what those are. As the season progresses, you know, the herring are coming in, and the herring are getting bigger, and the coho are going to switch over at some point to eating herring. And those coho in June, they're kind of in their hatching areas, predominantly around the Seattle area, around Area 10 where we're at in Edmonds, and around that area. And then at some point towards the end of August, depending on, like I said, the ocean conditions, they're going to move out into the Sound, and they're going to move out, and some of them are going to leave Puget Sound, and then they're going to go out to the ocean, and they're going to return 2 years later as the big ocean run coho. There's some of them that will stay in Puget Sound their whole lives, and a percentage of those will. That's why we kind of call those June fish residents, because some of them are never going to leave. But the majority of them are going to leave Puget Sound, come back as ocean run.
Yeah.
Now, not all the ocean run cohos that we catch in Puget Sound originated from Puget Sound. I mean, mm-hmm. some of these guys come from Canada. There's probably a few of them that are cruising through, you know, even farther north.
Right.
But the ones in September, we call them ocean runs because they're returning from the ocean.
Uh-huh.
But to answer your question, yeah, in early in the season, they're, you know, the fish are smaller, they're eating smaller bait, which is shrimp and krill.
Right.
Which is a real benefit if you're a foodie like me, because those fish, when they're eating the shrimp and krill, they're going to impart upon their flavor profile the flavor of the shrimp and krill, which is a fantastic dynamic in the taste of the fish.
I'll be darned. Now, does that's what also makes the flesh or the meat pink, is it not?
Not pink, more of a dark, dark red color.
Ah, okay.
Kind of a crustacean-y color. Right. Now, salmon, of course, is generally nice and red and pink anyway, mm-hmm. although occasionally, and we didn't get any this year, we have it for a couple of seasons, but occasionally you'll get a white king.
Yeah.
And they're somewhat rare in Puget Sound. In Alaska, they're more plentiful.
Uh-huh.
And the flesh will be white, kind of an albino color. Sometimes you might get one that's kind of pinkish. It's a little bit white and a little bit red.
Uh-huh.
This is a product of what the salmon has been eating.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes up in Alaska, they will get into, for a prolonged period, a bunch of white krill that they're eating up there.
Right.
Or white shrimp. And that will impart upon them, after a period of time, the color of the meat.
Got it.
Now, some say the white king is a delicacy, that they can taste the difference in the flavor. I really can't. Although some, you know, maybe it's psychological. Some people say that they can, but it is a unique thing that sometimes you come across. There was a season here went down to Puget Sound probably about 8 years ago, where we, and it was in the coho season, where we just kept catching these white coho.
White coho. Really?
Yes, white coho. Yeah. They had been eating this, you know, like I say, you are what you eat. And they had gotten into that. And of course, they were delicious. But it's kind of a natural phenomenon that happens from time to time.
I'll be darned. I've never heard of a white coho before.
You've heard of white kings, right?
Sure. Yeah, I've caught white kings and eaten them.
Yeah.
And they, you know, just like a regular king, that you were mentioning. I can't tell the difference in the flavor, but they're white. Yeah.
Well, they go for a higher price point.
Oh, I know.
In the fish market,
right?
If they're selling white king, if you'll notice, it's about 15% to 20% higher price premium for the white king.
Yep.
Like I say, there is this, and maybe it's just maybe some people, you know, maybe there is a difference in the flavor profile. Although I've got a pretty well defined palate, I think I can probably taste the difference. But I have not tasted any difference between the white and the red king or the white and red color. But I can tell you, definitely there is a big flavor profile difference in those June resident cohos when they're eating the shrimp and krill.
Right.
I can definitely tell the difference in those. They
right.
have a kind of a crustacean-y flavor to them that stands out.
Right, right. Now let me put this myth to rest. There is no difference between a king salmon and a Chinook salmon. Am I correct?
A Chinook is a king. A king is just a nickname that we all use for Chinook salmon.
Yep.
For example, coho salmon, that's a species of salmon. The nickname for coho is silver.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Chinook is a king salmon.
Yep.
Now in Alaska, you'll hear of a Tyee. That's just a Chinook or a king that's 30 pounds and over.
Right.
That's what they call it.
Right.
But we have these little nicknames for them.
Yeah.
Like our winter king salmon, we call those winter black mouth.
Right.
Because their mouths are black. King's mouths are black. Here in Boca Puget Sound, you know, the guys have been fishing here forever, and, you know, the predecessors, they just had a nickname for those,
yep.
Winter black mouth. So that's what we call them, but they're winter kings.
Right, exactly. The reason I asked this question, I've actually run into it a couple times over the last few years, and the most recent was I was actually, and I won't name the restaurant, but we were at a restaurant eating, myself and a friend of mine who guides in Alaska. And the waiter came over and said, "We have a special today you guys don't want to miss. It is King Chinook salmon." And we both look at him, and I go, King Chinook? What's the difference?" He goes, "It's a huge difference, right? You hardly ever get a King Chinook salmon." And he was on this roll trying to push us into buying this, this $30 plate of salmon each. That was a king Chinook, not just a Chinook. It was really funny.
Not just a king, but a king Chinook.
But a king Chinook was what he was. and they were getting a premium for this. It was really interesting.
we probably shouldn't slight the server. He probably wasn't well educated on the subject.
Well, yeah, but we've run into this twice, you know, with very similar instances. It was really interesting, but anyway.
No.
Yeah.
Chinook is the species, and king is kind of the nickname that we've got for that. And it's pretty much universal, you know, California all the way up to Alaska. The nickname king is just because it's like the king of salmon. It's the biggest one.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
How was it? Was it fantastic? Did it taste great?
It tasted great. Tasted just like Chinook, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's better because it wasn't Chinook.
That's right. You know,
thank God they didn't overcook it. That's the one thing you never want to do.
Oh, yeah.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, when you're cooking any seafood, halibut, salmon, you know, is overcook it, especially salmon and halibut. salmon, when you're no matter how you're doing it, when you're removing it from the heat, make sure you remove it from the heat when it has a slight bit of pinkness in there. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're going to say, oh, that's not done. Well, it's not done yet. But when you put it on the plate and when you come back to it, it's going to be done. Right. If you cook it when it's done, you know, in the oven or on the grill, by the time you get it to the plate and by the time you're ready to eat it, it's going to be overdone. And you don't want to do that. So thank God they cooked your Chinook king salmon properly. They didn't overdo it.
Right, exactly. And when you talk about a fish being overdone, I mean, isn't it that just pretty much a lot of the fat has come out of that fish and it isn't as moist and it's kind of a dry, flaky flavor or a texture to it? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, you cooked off all the fat and the moisture and the proteins in it. And that's why a lot of people, my little sister, for one, she hates seafood because she's never had it, you know, cooked properly. Right. And so she won't touch it now. But everybody's, afraid to eat, you know, raw fish. You know, I mean, I love raw fish. I do sushi all the time. But, you know, large percentage of seafood, a large percentage of us is what? Is water, is moisture. You take that out, you know, you're going to have salmon jerky.
Right.
Nobody wants that unless you're into that. But yeah, never overcook it. Take it out when it's got a little bit of pink in there. And I always say, you know, get a digital thermometer and, you know, take it out before it gets to temp. There's going to be ambient heat in there. There's going to continue to cook it. And, cooking it all the way is a sure way to ruin it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, hey, let's talk a little about 2024. And I know that, some of this conversation will probably be done with a crystal ball in front of us because regulations haven't been set and that sort of thing. But this in 2023, you started fishing, what, the end of May, 1st of June, something like that?
Well, our salmon season starts up June 1st.
Okay.
Depending, some years they'll bump us back to mid-June, but generally starts June 1st. What we do here is do a lot of family trips in April and May, a lot of flounder trips. And that's real popular for the locals and families. You know, they want something to do. And that's a lot of fun. Flounder, if you're not familiar with it, it's a little flat fish like a sole. And we fish real close in, close to the beach for those guys. And it's just jigging up and down. And when we get on, every time you pull up a rod, you've got one or two or three of these flounder on there.
No, okay.
Flounder's great eating fish, by the way. I think I've got a recipe up on the website for flounder. If I don't, I'll get one up. But kids love it. Families and kids love it. So, because there's so much action. So we'll start out with that in May. Then June, we'll roll into salmon. We do have a lingcod season in there. And we do some lingcod trips. Generally, people drop off the lingcod when salmon fires up in June. So that generally takes all the oxygen out of the room once salmon starts. So we've got salmon, the resident cohos in June. We'll fish for those. We can fish for those all the way through July. And like I say, there's a lot of them, you know, that are in Puget Sound all year round. So there's always coho available.
Right.
Then we'll roll into the Chinook right around July the 16th. And there's two areas that Chinook are available. We've got our marine areas, and each have kind of a different quota for the Chinook.
Mm-hmm.
Area 9 is just north of Edmonds. You go out of the marina, you turn a right, you're going to go to Area 9. That has a certain quota for Chinook, and then when you turn left, right in front of Edmonds, we've got Area 10, and that has its own quota for Chinook. Generally, in Area 10, our Chinook quota will last us through August.
Uh-huh.
Area 9, their Chinook quota is a little bit less, and it gets a lot more pressure from fishermen down coming from the north down south. So they generally, their season for Chinook generally lasts, depending on the year and the pressure, could be a week and a half, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. But generally, in right out of Evans, we've got Chinook available all the way through August.
Right.
And then after that, we'll be fishing for Ocean Run Coho. They start in September, mm-hmm. depending on the ocean conditions. Some years they're a little earlier. Some years they're right at September. We fish for those guys all the way through the end of October.
Right, right. And these are and these trips that you're taking, you know, they go pretty quick, do they not? I mean, booking ahead is very commonplace, you know, even, you know, 9 months or 12 months ahead, just to make sure that you, you know, can get on the captain's schedule to go out fishing. If you call the day before or the week before, the chances of them getting on a boat is pretty limited, isn't it?
Well, it depends. I mean, what you think of it like planning your vacation. So, I mean, if you're going to go to Europe, you know, you don't book the gondola cruise, you know, the night before.
Right.
You know, you want to get these things done because you're competing against, you know, everybody in Seattle, all the tourists. We've got the cruise ships here, and the cruise ship people, they generally book their trips when they book their cruise ship excursion, you know, a year in advance or so.
Right.
So we do have, you know, we do have availabilities that pop up. I mean, there's been times where, you know, I'm able to get people out that have booked the night before, but I wouldn't count on that. Those are kind of, you know, rare opportunities. But generally, if you're planning on going fishing here in Puget Sound, I would plan on, you know, 3 to 4 weeks ahead of time, maybe more if you can for the really hot days, but the sooner the better. When we get into king season, everybody and their brother wants to fish for kings. So those trips, I'm booking winter kings or next summer kings right now.
Right.
So a lot of those dates are going because, you know, kings is kind of the, you know, the top-notch species that everybody wants to fish for.
Mm-hmm.
So like any vacation plan that you want to do, any special event, any birthday, anything that you've got coming up that you want to really celebrate, get it done early. Sure. You know, you're guaranteed a spot, and you're kind of rolling the roulette wheel if you wait till the last minute.
But to answer your question,
the sooner the better. The sooner the better.
And speaking of birthdays and Christmas and that sort of thing, you actually offer gift certificates, do you not?
Yeah, we just started that program. We've kind of always kind of had it on the back burner. Somebody calls up and they want a gift for dad or their brother or their neighbor or whatever. You know, we've always been able to do something for them. But now we've got a kind of a special thing on the website. It's a dedicated, you know, gift certificate gift for whatever. You can book it. It's and it's applicable to, you know, to any of our available trip packages. And it's a great way to do it. No brainer. Click it. It's done. Mm-hmm. Move on to the next project. One less thing to worry about, and it's set for you.
Right, right. Oh, that's cool, man. And
a lot of memories made this year. You know, a lot of, you know, son's birthday, brother's birthday. You know, grandpa's last fishing trip. A lot of great memories made, and the gift certificate's a great way to get that done. And you know, we've got the holidays are here right now. Now's a great way to do it. You know, you're going through your family's checklist. What am I going to get Uncle Bob? What am I going to get my sister? What am I going to get Gramps? Nothing better than a gift of a great memory and an adventure.
That's exactly right. Now, speaking of memorable adventures, and I know that you've got a lot of them, but was there, you know, a particular trip that comes to mind and 2023 that you just kind of touched your heart or made you chuckle a little bit in the outing?
So many. Well, I'll give you two of them.
Okay.
Two of them. I'm a big fan of veterans and law enforcement. And one particular trip, I had four guys that had been out with me before. And the first time they went out with me was years ago when they came back from deployment in the Middle East, and they, of course, they were younger guys back then, and I was a younger guy. And we had them out. It was a great trip, and everybody caught their fish, and had done, and they came back with me. They all got back together this year for kind of like a reunion. And of course, we're all older. And right? It was so fantastic. We had so much fun. I mean, the fish were jumping in the boat. We really didn't even care about the fishing. It was the camaraderie of it. And to see these old buddies again and have everybody together, and we're taking pictures and holding up fish, and we get back to the marina and, you know, we're eating sandwiches and having some cold ones and just reminiscing and stuff. And you know, they're coming back next year. They're all coming from wherever they're living across the country and doing it again next year. Cool. And that was a fantastic, memorable trip. And, they gave me a couple of hats and patches from their units, back in the Middle East. And, I don't want to say specifically what they were, but they were, you know, they were Army specialists. It was great. And these right. hats and patches are, you don't get these. These are special things that I really, really cherish and appreciate that. So that was a fantastic, memorable trip. Another one that I had, in this particular, client of mine is a repeat customer. He had his son, his grandson, and his father.
Wow. That's
four generations of fishermen on the boat. No, and this was probably Pop's last fishing trip, I would imagine. He's in his late 80s. He might be, I think he's got a birthday coming up, so he's probably going to be 90. And this is probably his last fishing trip that we had this last summer. Everybody caught fish. Pops got his two.
There you go.
Got a big coho. He says that's the biggest fish he's ever caught. The man's in his late 80s. I think he's caught a lot of fish.
Right.
And he
right.
said it was the best trip he'd ever had. We got back to the dock, and the grandson, the son, father, and grandfather, just an amazing trip. And same thing. I mean, we got back to the dock and took pictures and just enjoyed each other's company, made great memories. We had, you know, they brought sandwiches and snacks, and we just had a great afternoon lunch when we got back on the boat, you know, taking pictures and just having a great time. And those are the experiences for me that I'll take with me forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Captain Chris, man, what a great conversation we had today. How do people get a hold of you for the upcoming season, or to give you a call and maybe talk about setting up some trips for them and that sort of thing for 2024?
Sure. Fantastic. Now's the time to do it. You know, everybody's off for the holidays and we're planning the year ahead. You know, probably want to get this plan. One thing to knock off your checklist. You can visit us at online at bigkingsalmoncharters.com.
Mm-hmm.
You do everything right online there. All your questions can be answered on the site. But if you do have any questions, feel free to give me a call. 425-776-7688. That number will reach me wherever I'm at. You can also text me at that number, and that'll get me immediately. If you have any questions, just want to know how the fishing's been, what should we bring, you know, can the youngsters come, how old's a good age, you know, how's the fishing been, give me a call, we'll talk about it, we'll get you guys set up.
Sounds great. Man, it's always fun to talk to you and catch up a little bit. Captain Chris, happy holidays to you and yours. Don't eat too much turkey tomorrow. But just enjoy some time off. I know that you're a hardworking guy, and we're looking forward to talking with you as 2024 rolls around. Maybe we'll have some more discussions on those King Chinooks that are up north, maybe headed your way.
Yeah, those King Chinooks.
Right. Well, you take care. Tight lines, my friend.
Yep, you too. Tight lines, everybody. Have a fantastic and safe holiday, and we'll see you guys out on the water.
Perfect.